From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Iowa's Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage is 1 year old. This hour, we reflect on that ruling. We'll talk with Kate and Trish Varnum, plaintiffs in the landmark case. Also, political scientist David Redlosk. He directed the Hawkeye poll on Iowans' attitudes and opinions on same-sex marriage just before the Supreme Court ruling. He'll tell us how those attitudes are likely to change over time. And we'll hear the opposing views of Camilla Taylor of Lambda Legal that filed the lawsuit and Danny Carroll of the Iowa Family Policy Center. The center believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. What do you think of the landmark case allowing same-sex marriage? Our discussion starts right after this hour's news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Good to have you with us over the noon hour. Iowa's Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage is marking its one-year anniversary. Since last year at this time, there have been 1,783 marriage licenses issued to same-sex couples in Iowa. This hour, we want to reflect on that ruling, which for some was a reason to celebrate, for others an occasion for concern. Later in the hour, we'll hear the opposing views of Camilla Taylor, legal counsel for Lambda Legal that filed the lawsuit, and Danny Carroll of the Iowa Family Policy Center. The center believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. We also want to reach out to you, our listeners. Do you have a personal story about how Iowa has changed since the unanimous Iowa Supreme Court ruling legalizing same-sex marriage? How has your life been affected because of the ruling? Share your experiences this hour. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Joining us first of all by phone, Kate and Trish Varnum. Varnum, that is a word, a name that you will see in history books. As the years progress increasingly, one of six couples who served as plaintiffs in the landmark case. They join us by phone from separate locations. Good afternoon, Trish and Kate.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, Trish and Kate, you were married when?
We were married in... Yes.
I guess you're in separate locations. We'll have to figure out who's going to answer the questions. Most of them are for you both. So go ahead. When were you married?
September the 5th of 2009.
So tell us about your wedding day.
It was a very beautiful day. It was very casual and just surrounded by family and friends. It was everything that we wanted it to be.
Has your relationship changed since then, or is there something different about it since making it legal?
I wouldn't say it was different. It's just a deeper connection, more validation in our relationship recognized by the state.
Mm-hmm. So the validation you're talking about comes from not within, but without.
Exactly. Knowing that our relationship is protected and that the state is recognizing the long-term relationship that we've been in.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a great deal to us.
How does that change when you, say, travel across the border, say, to Illinois, a road trip to Chicago?
Well, we actually do that quite often, and it's a little scary. We have taken precautions before we were married to have all the legal documents necessary, power of attorney, living wills, everything. But we are still dependent on the people at the hospitals or wherever to honor those, and they don't necessarily have to.
So potentially going to Chicago, should something happen, an injury happen, something like that, what might?
Yeah? It's very possible that if Trish were injured, that the hospital could deny us the right to be together. That's something that people don't think about with marriage. You know, you think love and joy and all this, but there's also a very serious side to it. And like Trish said, when we cross the border out of Iowa into a surrounding state, those rights and recognitions kind of drop away, and we do need to protect ourselves in other ways. It's very expensive to do so, though.
How has bringing this lawsuit impacted your privacy? Have you been constantly under the spotlight this whole year, or just at the beginning and now here at the anniversary, obviously?
I really haven't ever felt under the spotlight. Our privacy is still been maintained. We've done more publicity, obviously, but as far as our everyday lives, we just go about that pretty much. The only really thing we've noticed is more people are contacting us from our past and congratulating us and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of well-wishers, but any negative reaction that you've experienced firsthand?
No, we have been very fortunate in that nobody has contacted us to say anything negative, and I think that speaks to who Iowa to who Iowans are as a people. We are generally very friendly and very kind, and we're not going to say anything bad like that to other people.
Now, even though other couples were involved as plaintiffs in this case, it's your name, Varnum v. Bryan, that is part of history. Has that sunk in over this past year?
It's been very, very interesting. This is Kate, and it's my family's name. It's the family. It's the name I grew up with, and it's a little strange to hear that in that context. It's not something you expect when you're growing up.
Do you feel that you have had a hand in changing Iowa?
Absolutely. But I have to give the credit to where it's due to Camilla Taylor and Lambda Legal for all the work that they did to bring this to Iowa, and then to One Iowa for continuing to educate Iowans about the importance of same-sex marriage.
So what is the nature of the change that you think this ruling has spurred within its first year?
You know, I think that a lot of people are recognizing that it does affect people that they know, that maybe they hadn't considered it before. And I think that those who have gotten married, you know, you mentioned over 1,700 couples have gotten married, there's a status that we haven't had before as vital members of the community and vital members of the state. And I think that has really made us stand taller and stand prouder.
Kate and Trish Varnum with us, one of six couples who serve as plaintiffs in the landmark case that gave same-sex couples the right to marry in Iowa. I want to introduce into our conversation political scientist David Redlosk, professor of political science at Rutgers University currently and director of Rutgers Eagleton Poll. He's formerly of the University of Iowa. Today he finds himself in Iowa City at our studios of Iowa Public Radio. Good afternoon to you, David Redlosk.
Hi, Ben.
Before we go to callers, I want to talk to you a little bit about the poll. A year ago, you were the director of the Hawkeye poll, which surveyed Iowans' opinions about same-sex marriage. Can you summarize quickly those results?
Yeah, we happened to be in the field just before the ruling came down, and we'd asked a couple questions about gay marriage, including asking people whether they supported gay marriage, whether they supported civil unions but opposed gay marriage, or whether they opposed both. Opinion right before the ruling, 26% supporting gay marriage, 28% supporting civil unions, and 37% opposing both gay marriage and civil unions. You could read that one of two ways. Either a majority of Iowans were opposed to gay marriage, or a majority of Iowans supported some kind of recognition for same-sex relationships. Interestingly enough, that April poll in 2009 showed no change at all from an October 2008 poll we had done. So there'd been no movement on public opinion at all. And the one really fascinating thing in this was that 58% of those under 30 supported gay marriage outright, 30% of those over 30, and only 18% of those over 65. This is a huge generational issue.
Mm-hmm. One part of your survey also asked Iowans how they would feel about the issue if the Supreme Court were to rule in favor of same-sex marriage. This, again, a poll from prior to the decision. And the findings there?
Right. The hypothetical was interesting because what we found was relatively little change, but some swing toward support for gay marriage if the Supreme Court ordered it. And so we saw about a 4 or 5 point swing. People would say, okay, I will support gay marriage. At the same time, we still had 35% saying they'd support a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage and civil union. Another 26% would ban gay marriage but allow civil union. So it was still a minority that would accept gay marriage even if the court ruled it. But it did swing towards gay marriage based on the idea of a court ruling.
Now, if a poll was taken again today, 1 year later, would you expect to get different results? Do you see any trends there that you could project onto today?
Well, a couple of interesting things. One is we actually went right back after the ruling. We called back half of the people we had talked to and asked them again. And we found that after the court ruled, in fact, there was a swing, and the swing was more in the line of about 8 points. And so with the court ruling, more people accepted the idea of gay marriage, but it was still remained a minority. More recently, though, the Des Moines Register polled last September and KCCI polled last month. And in both cases, they found almost an even split. About 40%, 41% would support a constitutional amendment to ban, and 40% would continue with the new rule, you know, supporting gay marriage. So bottom line is, over the year, we move from a majority supporting banning gay marriage to still a plurality, but a small plurality. We move in favor of gay marriage about 12 points over the year since the court ruled.
And how does public opinion about this issue change over time as we look into the future? What would you expect?
Given that age matters hugely on this one, I've said all along, this is just a matter of time. Young people do not even see it as an issue. They don't understand why it's an issue. We're close to 60% plus of those under 30 supporting gay marriage. It really is a generational thing. That would suggest that over time, this issue gets resolved, in a sense, towards marriage equality.
So what is it about young society that influences public opinion in such a vastly different way than the older generations?
They've just got a different world, and a lot of it has to do with the interconnections that they have with people that have been facilitated by social networking, by the internet. We often think of those as very thin interconnections because they're often not face-to-face. But what's really happened is young people are getting exposed to a much wider range of people, of lifestyles, of approaches to life than ever happened before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's showing up.
Mm-hmm. Kate and Trish, you're still on the phone there. Political scientist David Redlosk has said must be encouraging when he says it's only a matter of time.
Oh, it's very encouraging. I hope that one day we will have marriage equality, not just throughout the Midwest, but across the country.
Okay, very good. We want to take a short break, and then when we come back, we want to get your calls in here. Do you have a personal story about how Iowa has changed since the unanimous Iowa Supreme Court ruling legalizing same-sex marriage 1 year ago? Perhaps you're one of the 1,783 couples, same-sex couples, that was issued a marriage license over the past year. What are your experiences? How has your life been affected by the ruling? 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And when we come back, we want to talk to political scientist David Redlosk some more about his work in New Jersey at Rutgers, and the issue seems to have followed him there. We'll find out if there are parallels between Iowa and New Jersey, differences as well, and of course include your phone calls as we look back at the Iowa Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage the year after. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer, looking at the Iowa Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage 1 year ago. Later in the hour, the opposing views of Camilla Taylor, legal counsel for Lambda Legal that filed this lawsuit, and Danny Carroll of the Iowa Family Policy Center. The center believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. Currently, we have with us David Redlosk, political scientist, and also Kate and Trish Varnum, plaintiffs in the landmark case, joining us by phone. And we want to go to our callers. Let's go to Chris, first of all, calling from Ames. Good afternoon, Chris. What do you think of a year after this decision? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm very proud of Iowa. I'm a 60-year-old former teacher and librarian, and I must say that when I go out to visit my husband's relatives in New York, they say, wow, how progressive Iowa has become, and they're thinking that it's really a cool state because we have been able to become tolerant. I also wanted to talk about the youth, and I do know my children, who are young adults, are so tolerant. It is. They say, why is this even a question? Why is this even a problem? people have the right to be with the people that they love. And if we can't go along with that, then how can we be human? We have to just support love and loving relationships in all forms.
Thank you, Chris, calling from Ames. Yeah. I want to toss it over to David Redloss, because moving from Iowa to New Jersey at Rutgers, you have a parallel experience, I would imagine, moving there too. The fact that Iowa is at the forefront of changing this makes an impression on other states, on New Jersey, I would imagine.
It does make an impression. Of course, Iowa has this history, and Iowa's constitution has really the most expansive civil rights clause in the country. And I think Iowans, as Chris said, have every right to be proud of that for a whole host of reasons. New Jersey has been in an interesting dynamic because a couple of years ago, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that there must be equality for same-sex couples, but the legislature chose to implement that as civil union. So New Jersey currently has a civil union law, but in the last year or so, there's been a lot of pressure to move towards full marriage equality. And a debate started up in the legislature right after the election. Basically, where we stand in New Jersey is that there is more support for gay marriage in New Jersey than there is in Iowa. But ironically, New Jersey does not have gay marriage. And in fact, the legislature failed to pass the bill this last January. And the issue is back in court.
But you still think in New Jersey, a matter of time?
I do think it's a matter of time. It may be a matter of time in New Jersey if the Supreme Court takes a look and says the legislature really did not implement equality. And I think that, as we heard, issues relating to hospitalization, for example, are huge. And in the hearings in front of the New Jersey legislature, many people came and said this is a problem even under civil unions. But it's also a matter of time because public opinion is moving in that direction. And it's moving in that direction partly generationally, but also because when a state like Iowa and previously Massachusetts and others have legalized gay marriage, the result has not been a collapse of the world. And as that turns out to be the case, it becomes more and more the status quo, more and more, you know, this is just the way the world is. And I think we will see that over time.
Let's go to Sarah, also in Ames. Good afternoon, Sarah. Welcome to The Exchange.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to relate our story. My partner and I just moved to Ames in January from Massachusetts. We had been living in Massachusetts for about 10 years, and we were legally married there in 2004.
A same-sex partner.
I'm sorry?
Same-sex partner.
Yes, yeah. And we have a son who was born in 2008, and we've been looking to move to the Midwest and had been looking at different places. We've been looking at Minneapolis and Madison and Chicago, and actually decided on Iowa because our marriage would still be legal here, and our son would be protected if there was any medical problems or if we, God forbid, had marriage problems and were divorced, custody issues, issues of health insurance, issues of just being recognized as a couple were so important to us that we chose to move to Iowa rather than moving to a different part of the Midwest. So the decision had a huge impact on our family.
And those factors have been important now that you are here in Iowa.
Absolutely, yeah, and we've been actually really impressed, really amazed, and really heartened by the reception that we've gotten here. People have been really great. People have been really welcoming, and we've been really happy about our decision.
Sarah, thank you so much for telling us your story. Sarah from Ames, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dean is joining us from Waterloo. Dean, welcome to The Exchange.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that my partner and I, of 22 years, had the opportunity to be married last fall here in Waterloo in Cedar Falls. After the vows were exchanged, we had about 250 friends and relatives there. And there was just an explosion of a standing ovation at the end. And it was just one of the proudest moments of my life.
So this is something, I mean, a marriage is a time for tears and joy, but you're saying this has an added flavor to it.
Well, it was just, we have elderly parents, both my partner and I, my husband and I, and it was wonderful to have them there to celebrate and to recognize them for being so supportive. And It was like voting for the first time. It felt like it was a right that I needed to exercise, and it was a very special day for us.
Dean, thank you for your experience calling from Waterloo, Dean. And let's go to Iowa City. Ron, good afternoon. We have a couple minutes before we take a break. What's been your experience?
Hey, Ben, it's Ron Clark. How are you?
Ron, how are you doing, sir?
Good, and say hello to David Redloss for me, too.
Hi, Ron.
He's right here. You can do it yourself. Ron, yeah, go ahead.
I got to tell you, this summer I got to witness a wedding. A friend of ours and his partner came over from Chicago to get married here, you know? And they came, this is going to sound kind of cynical, but that started me thinking about growth industries in Iowa. I mean, these guys came over and spent a long weekend here, had a great time, loved Iowa City. From Chicago to get married. Another wedding I went to was a gay couple, a friend of mine from high school, who came back to Iowa to get married with her partner of 20 years.
I don't know if we've ever studied the economic impact of same-sex marriage tourism, so to speak. David, do you know of any studies?
I know, but people actually were talking about that last year as this started happening. I mean, I could picture, bed and breakfasts on the rivers on both sides of the state as a great industry right at this point. This whole thing is interesting because it takes on a life of its own over time. And one little quick anecdote in the New Jersey situation, the fight over whether to implement same-sex marriage had hearings. And among the people at the hearings were representatives of the Catholic Church. Now, New Jersey Catholics are the largest religious group in New Jersey. And the church came and said, we don't need the gay marriage rule because we'll work to make civil unions better. So the Catholic Church in New Jersey said, we'll work to make the civil union law better. That's really interesting.
Hmm.
You know?
We're coming to the end of this segment. We're going to go away for a few minutes before we continue. But I wanted to share this email. Ben in Des Moines writes, I think it's important to note that the state Supreme Court ruling is based on our Constitution, codifying equal protection under the law for all citizens. So moral questions, religious beliefs, and other opinions aside, I think a court that supports equal protection under the law is something that all people from all facets of the political spectrum can support if they take the time to think it through. So is that part of the awareness raising quickly in 30 seconds, David Redloss, separating the religious side of this from the civic side?
Well, I think that is actually the key to moving this forward, and it's certainly been the key to the arguments in favor. I mean, there's no question that there is still a religious element, and many of the people who oppose on religious grounds.
We have to go away, but first of all, I want to thank Kate and Trish are still on the line. Kate and Trish Varnum.
Yes.
Very quickly, how will you be marking the one-year anniversary?
We will be celebrating in Des Moines with One Iowa tomorrow evening.
Okay, very good. Kate and Trish, how long have you been together altogether?
9 years.
9 years, the last year of it, married legally under Iowa law. Thank you for joining us, Kate and Trish Varnum.
Thank you.
All right, and when we come back after a few minutes of break, we'll continue with our conversation, reflecting on the Iowa Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage the year after. Do you have a personal story about how Iowa has changed since the unanimous Supreme Court ruling legalizing same-sex marriage? How has your life been affected because of the ruling? Perhaps you're one of the 1,783 same-sex couples who were issued a marriage license in the past year. We want to hear your experiences. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us TheExchange@iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Iowa's Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage is 1 year old, and this hour we're reflecting on that ruling. In a few minutes, a conversation with Danny Carroll of the Iowa Family Policy Center. The center believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. But first, a conversation I had earlier today with Camilla Taylor, senior staff attorney in Lambda Legal's Midwest Regional Office. Lambda Legal filed the lawsuit on behalf of the plaintiffs. I began by asking her what she believed has changed over the past year that same-sex marriage has been legal in Iowa.
Well, we've seen a lot of very, very happy families and some wonderful wedding celebrations. We've seen people really vindicated in their love for each other, but also very happy that their families are more protected and secure. They now have the right to enjoy all of the responsibilities and the rights that come along with being married, mm-hmm. whether that includes the ability to take bereavement leave, to care for your family member if, say, you lose your mother-in-law, or the ability to make sure that you have health insurance for your children, the ability to really make sure that you are always able to be there for each other, whether it's in the hospital or at other times of crisis, which is what marriage is all about.
Has this, you're dealing, of course, with the legal aspects of this, but has this ruling changed your life at Lambda Legal and personally otherwise throughout the year, this historic case in Iowa?
Well, I really think that the case has had a transformative effect on the nation in a number of measurable ways. And, of course, we've seen since the decision came down, at the time of the decision, there were only two other states in the country that issued marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And now there are six jurisdictions nationwide in which same-sex couples can marry. So we've seen a transformation in the conversation nationwide, and that, of course, has affected our work. This is a unanimous ruling from a bipartisan court in the Heartland, and that itself was very significant.
In the Heartland, I'm glad you mentioned that, because all of the other places, if I'm not mistaken, are on the East Coast. This is in the Heartland. What significance does that have, that Iowa, right in the middle, right in the breadbasket, has this law?
Well, I think it did have a great impact on people around the country. I think gay people around the country were a little prouder when the decision came down, and really felt that the tide had turned with history, and it's clear that it won't be long before we enjoy equality nationwide. And so I think it had a great psychological effect on us around the country for those of us who are involved in the struggle for equality. But it also, I think, was significant in that it helped people to see that there is no partisan aspect to this issue. It's not about what's happening on the coasts or what's happening in liberal communities necessarily. It's about taking care of families and states that have true Heartland values and who really care about protecting families in the best way possible are right there on the forefront.
You're talking about families. The opposition to this also talks about families. They see themselves as defenders of the family, of traditional marriage. Do you have any points of understanding, commonality, with those who would oppose same-sex marriage?
Well, ultimately, I think the best explanations for why it was that the suit was brought and why it's so important to gain equality are explanations that are given by our clients, by the people who were involved in the suit because they wanted to get married and because they wanted to do so in many instances to protect their children. And they say again and again that this is about simply trying to be there, to have their commitment realized and to prevent government from standing in the way of that. So this really is about families, and it's about those very basic values that we all share. So I think we would agree with our opponents that it is about basic values. Although we may not agree with what the content of those values are.
Now, the opponents of same-sex marriage have continued to push for a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage that would be put to voters. Are you watching this issue? How concerned are you?
Well, I think if there's one thing that the community has learned, the gay community nationwide over the last few years, it's that complacency is our enemy, and we need to continue.
Speaking of California.
Yes, recently, unfortunately, in Maine as well. And we need to continue to work to protect equality, that we can't stop being vigilant. And this is a struggle that's going to go on for some years, and we won't be struggling forever. And I firmly believe in my lifetime we will see equality nationwide from coast to coast. But for now, we have to make sure that we maintain the right that we have fought so very hard for, the right to marry here in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. But every time, isn't it true, every time this has been put to voters any place in the nation, it has been defeated. Same-sex marriage has been defeated.
Well, we have seen great differences in polling numbers lately and also in the margins by which those contests are decided. And, of course,
the margins are getting closer, you mean?
That's exactly right. And we've also seen that in some communities, actually, when you put various issues to do with civil rights for LGBT people on the ballot, that we win. And we're going to see that more and more in the future. And I think the most important thing to realize is that when couples can marry and when their children are secure based on equality in marriage, in civil marriage, as we've seen here in Iowa, that the communities are safer, people are safer, and that nothing changes except for those families that feel a little happier, a little more secure. And when that happens, then there ceases to be any political will to amend state constitutions, and we've certainly seen that in other states. And we've seen that here in Iowa as well, where Iowans are not interested in writing discrimination into their constitution, as the governor recently remarked. This is a state in which the decision has been embraced, and what we've seen is joy as families have had their relationships recognized legally over the last year, but not an effort to amend the Constitution.
As you mentioned there, Governor Culver did come out in favor of this. He praised the inaction of the legislature in not bringing up the issue of the constitutional amendment. But he does say that his own personal belief is that marriage is between a man and a woman. Are you surprised that he is not endorsing this ruling fully and personally, or that more public officials are not ready to voice support for same-sex marriage?
Well, I think we have seen great leadership and integrity among a number of elected officials here in Iowa, people who spoke out very firmly in support of this decision and with great pride that Iowa once again had taken a role in the vanguard of a new civil rights struggle.
But are you a bit disappointed that the governor isn't fully behind this?
Everybody comes along in their own pace. And I think the governor's been very clear that a constitutional amendment is inappropriate, it would be discriminatory, and it's not going to happen. We need to continue to work to make sure that that is the case, which means that we need to make sure that we are contacting our elected officials. And then we need to contact the governor, too, and talk about the importance of marriage to Iowa families, civil marriage equality. Now, that, you know, obviously is a road that he still has to move a little farther along on, but I'm confident that he will.
And now at least one Republican gubernatorial candidate has said he would sign an executive order that would stay the same-sex marriage decision until the Iowa General Assembly rewrites state law or Iowans are allowed to vote on the definition of marriage. Now, in your opinion, would this action by a governor be legal?
Well, you can't do that by executive order, and so it wouldn't be possible.
Explain that. Why can't you?
Well, it's not the way Iowa's government is structured. You can't amend the Constitution by executive order, and you can't interfere with the works of other branches of government in that way. So it would cause a lot of litigation and confusion, but it wouldn't actually result in what the governor, what the candidate is saying that it would do. Elected officials or candidates for office sometimes think that they can win by scapegoating certain communities, and this is an example of that, and it's unfortunate, but it's certainly has no basis in law or in reality.
Do you believe that you'll have to defend this ruling sometime in the future again in Iowa?
Well, I think we're always working to defend equality when we are lucky enough to achieve it somewhere. And this decision reflects a lot of hard work, not just by those of us at Lambda Legal, but also by our partners at One Iowa who've been doing a lot of public education to make sure that people appreciate the value of the decision and how important equality is to Iowa families. And we've got to continue to do that work.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Camilla Taylor, Senior Staff Attorney in Lambda Legal's Midwest Regional Office.
Thank you very much for having me.
That conversation with Camilla Taylor recorded earlier today. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Iowa Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex marriage is 1 year old. We're reflecting on that this hour. We want to get to the numerous callers we have waiting. But before we do that, I want to welcome Danny Carroll to our conversation, board chair of the Iowa Family Policy Center. The center believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. Good afternoon to you, Danny.
Good afternoon, Ben. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, state lawmakers this session have refused to put a vote to a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Are you surprised by that?
Not particularly, given the margin of control that the Democrat Party had in both chambers, probably not too surprising.
So what is next for you and the Iowa Family Policy Center on this issue?
Well, we'll continue to push for a chance for the people of Iowa to vote on this change of policy. when the Supreme Court made their decision on April 3rd. They did two things, actually. They issued an opinion saying that they believed Iowa's law on marriage passed a few years, not too many years ago, was unconstitutional. But then through that process, decided that a new policy would now exist in Iowa, and that is that marriage would include a man, a woman, two men, or two women. That change in policy, and people that you've talked to on your show here this noon suggest that that's a new law, but the problem is a court cannot make law. And so a
court, though, interprets law, and in this case, the court unanimously decided that the promise of equal protection for all in the Iowa Constitution does not allow for a ban of same-sex marriage. Is that correct?
No. They issued an opinion that said Iowa's law was unconstitutional. But where is there in the among the separation of powers that a court can then decide a next step of what that what the new policy is going to be? How come they limited it to same sex? Where did they come up with the new definition of marriage? Was it considered in the course of legislative debate? Were there public hearings? Were there press conferences with the media? There was none of that.
Okay.
There was a closed-door decision that said this is what the new policy is going to be, Iowa, and they found support for that in the legislature, the governor's office, and the attorney general's office.
Okay,
and the people of Iowa want a chance to simply vote on it. That's all.
Okay, we want to go to calls here in just a moment, but very quickly, based on what you just said, should public opinion be the deciding factor in these cases? Let's say public opinion in Iowa today was against interracial marriage, as it was a few generations ago. Should the majority public opinion prevent marriage between races, if that's the opinion, the majority opinion of our state?
The opinion of the public should be reflected in their vote. And
even in cases of equal protection?
If the Constitution of Iowa says that all political power is inherent in the people, as it does in Section 2, then all the people are saying, give us a chance to vote on it without just shoving it on us. And politicians and those in the homosexual community are saying, no, we don't want the people to vote on it. We want seven unelected people to have the final say. The people of Iowa are simply saying, we don't go along with that. Just let us vote.
Okay, Danny Carroll, our hour is getting away from us. I do want to get to calls. Steve is joining us from Ames. Good afternoon, Steve. Welcome to our conversation.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. And your first guest, I think, hit the nail on the head by using the term family. Try to get through this and not be emotional.
Yes.
I'm a conservative Republican, have been all my life, and I have wholly been against same-sex marriage from day one. However, in the recent past here, I have a family member who is a single parent realized one afternoon 6 months ago that she was gay and she fell in love and with a wonderful mate, and it has changed their family, as your guest said earlier. And it was difficult for me to look at my sister-in-law in the eye and continue with the feelings that I had about same-sex marriage. So I've gone 180 on it, and I think if people think about it hard, I just don't know how they couldn't support giving the same benefits to those folks as we get ourselves. And I think your original guest said it best, and that's using the word family and how a simple thing like that can make you whole. And I think it's incredibly important, and I think everybody who's against it should rethink it.
Steve, thank you for that experience, a story from Ames. Iowa Family Policy Center. Danny Carroll, family is in your center's name. What do you think about that 180-degree turn just recounted by Steve?
Well, your heart goes out to people who suffer with all kinds of adversity in their life, and many of us have friends or family members who are either in a homosexual lifestyle or
I didn't get any sense of suffering from Steve. I got a sense that he felt enlightened.
Well, I might offer a different perspective. I have a very good friend He actually wrote a book called Breaking the Chains. He said in that book, in the last few years, I've lost 5 friends to AIDS. It was very hard to talk with them and minister to them, and it was heartbreaking to watch them die.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to Jack as he watched 5 of his very close friends die from AIDS, having been involved in the homosexual lifestyle? That doesn't get talked about very much, Ben, but there are people who are suffering and people who will die an early death because of this lifestyle, and yet we don't talk about that.
And same-sex marriage has something to do with the transmission of AIDS.
Homosexual behavior has something to do with the transmission of AIDS, as reported by the Centers for Disease Control just a couple of weeks ago.
Let's go to Devin in Waverly. Hi, Devin.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead. We've got just a few minutes, Devin.
I just wanted to say it took me by complete surprise when this ruling happened about a year ago. I was very pleased with it. It put Iowa on the map, and that was great. And I just wanted to comment that, you know, a lot of people thought there was going to be sweeping changes. And the only thing that, you know, the only real changes that we've seen have been the fact that there's just been more support for gay marriage around the country. And, you know, Iowa's infrastructure hasn't collapsed or anything like that. And I think that people can learn a lot from what us Iowans did. And I'm proud to call myself an Iowan. That's all I wanted to say.
Devin, thank you very much. Let me follow up on that. Danny Carroll, part of the Iowa Family Policy Center argument against same-sex marriage is that it erodes heterosexual marriage. In what ways would you say that marriages have been eroded over this past year?
Well, whenever you seek to redefine an institution, it can't be avoided. You cause erosion, confusion. If marriage no longer means what God has intended it for all these many years, then the door is open. And we don't know what will happen when the future comes, having gone down this path. Probably the most telling remark that I've heard in your show here, Ben, was a little bit earlier when one of your guests thanked Lambda Legal for bringing this to Iowa. And that's probably what disturbs the people of Iowa the most. This has been brought to our state by Lambda Legal. They came in looking for a state just like Iowa for this kind of an experiment. They forced it on the people of Iowa, and we can't even have a chance to vote. We can't even have a public debate and dialogue on it and go to the polls and decide what our Constitution says because the legal community and the judges have forced it on us, and it's just not right. And in the end, the people will have the final say.
Barbara is joining us from Mount Vernon. Barbara, just a few minutes left. What do you have to add to our conversation?
Hi. I would like to make just several observations.
Quickly, please.
I'm sorry?
Quickly, please. We just have a few minutes. Sorry, go ahead.
I work at Kirkwood College. I have worked with thousands of students in composition classes and have been at the school for 15 years. I see much more open exposure to people who are candid about being gay, who are less cautious, less afraid, and I think that part of that is, a large part, is because they feel safe. They feel that now they are respected citizens under the Iowa Constitution or the Iowa laws, and you can't feel that way if you were prohibited basic rights. Secondly, I'm so glad that the gentleman 2 calls ago said that he went 180 change when it affected his whole family. I often give students a chance to make opinions on public policies as for or against gay marriage, illegal immigration, et cetera. And I find that at least 80% of the cases, they talk about and they write about wanting to restrict laws for different kinds of marriages and also immigration. And yet, when I turn around and say, now, what would you do if a member of your own family was getting married? Would you go to the marriage if it was a homosexual marriage? Would you employ, a married gay person, et cetera? And all of the times when it's within their purview, they are extremely liberal. They only want to limit it to society, and I feel that's hypocritical. And I agree with the gentleman who called and said, It profoundly changed my life. I feel very supportive of this.
Okay, Barbara, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to cut you off. Sorry. Thank you, Barbara. I want to give Danny Carroll the last word here. And Danny, to pick up on something to go out with that Barbara said, and also echoed by David Redlosk, our political scientist, earlier in the hour, his polling shows a sharp break with people 30 and under, showing that there's no question of great support for same-sex marriage with people 30 and under. So he calls it a matter of time before this takes place across the country. How do you react to that? And a closing remark, please.
Two things. His numbers were based on the opinion of 64 of those young people out of a population of 1,000, and almost half disagreed. So it's far from a overwhelming position on the part of younger people. Secondly, give those people a few years to grow up and see some of their friends die from HIV and syphilis infection, as reported by the CDC. Men engaged with sex in sex with men are 44 more times more likely to be diagnosed with HIV. But that's a kind of a sideline, Ben. The bottom line is this: God created marriage, one man and one woman.
Danny Carroll, thank you very much for joining us today. Board Chair of the Iowa Family Policy Center. Thank you for joining us, Danny.
Good to be with you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. We want to thank David Redlosk, didn't beforehand, for joining us. David, thank you for joining us in our studios at Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. Our producer assistant today, Rosalind Sixby. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting and on-demand audio available at iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.